Welcome to Divorce Talk, a podcast for people who are contemplating divorce, going through one, or would like to know everything about the divorce process. Each episode, you'll hear from Chicago divorce lawyers from Bierman LLP, one of the largest divorce and family law firms in the state of Illinois, speak on all things divorce, from child custody, divorce litigation, mediation, the collaborative process, and everything in between. Now, here are your hosts, the Bierman Divorce Lawyers.
I'm Sandra Napoli D'Arco. I'm here today with Leo Bizanis and Dominic Urbacci. Today, we're talking about millennials and marriage, everything millennials need and want to know. So there's a lot of information out there on millennials and them postponing marriage. So we will talk about that today and some of the things that they can put in place to give them peace of mind. But before we do that, we're going to have Leo and Dominic tell us a little bit about themselves.
Sure. So again, I'm Leo Bizanis, grew up in Hinsdale, stayed local after that for school, went to University of Illinois Chicago undergrad, and now the University of Illinois Chicago John Marshall Law School. And I've been practicing for about 2 years now.
My name is Dominic Urbacci. I grew up on the north side of Chicago in Roscoe Village. I'm a third generation attorney, went to DePaul for undergrad, and also attended the University of Illinois' John Marshall Law School.
Great. The two John Marshall grads here. Yeah. We'll have to send this to John Marshall so they could see what great work they've
done.
Hopefully
they'll advertise for us.
So as divorce lawyers and millennials yourselves, and for anyone who doesn't know, millennials are those that are born in the 1980s and the 1990s, why do you think millennials are postponing marriage?
Well, I think that millennials are postponing marriage for a couple of reasons. I think that millennials in general are more thoughtful about their lives and their future, not only as individuals, but also as couples. So they're waiting. They're not getting married as young as our parents' generation got married. They're finishing undergrad. They're considering going to law school, or they're finishing law school or graduate school, and then they're getting married. It's more thoughtfully done. They like staying at home, I think, a little bit more longer than our parents' generation, again, who were really eager to get started, start their own lives. It's also a lot harder to get out on your own. The prices of homes have gone up considerably. Mortgages are harder to qualify for. So there's a number of reasons why millennials are postponing marriage.
And to build off of that a little bit, you know, Dom had mentioned school. The cost of school has gone up astronomically. I know even since my parents went to school to when I went to school, a lot of millennials who, like myself, I chose to finish school before I even thought about getting engaged, which I am engaged now. And I'll use that as a pivot point from a personal standpoint. I knew there was no way I could start a life with somebody where I have not only my own life to have in the palm of my hands, but also to help provide for somebody else when I have an astronomical amount of debt. And that debt, when you look at it, like Dom said, we're a little more thoughtful because had I gotten married before I went and got that debt, which a lot of people do, a lot of people our age will think, you know what, I want to go build something for myself, the old school mentality, before I go back to school, before I go do whatever I'm going to do. By doing what I did, rather than signing a prenup, perhaps, which we can get into a little bit later, I protected my spouse from, at least to a certain extent, from what could be a marital debt. Had I incurred that while I was married, that could be something that down the line, if things fall apart, we would both be on the hook for. And that's not necessarily saying, you know, if we choose to refinance to buy a house and lock the student loan in it, or even consolidate, that could, again, arguably become marital, which, again, I think pivots nicely into talking about prenups for people our age.
Yeah, Leo, that's a great point. I think that with regard to the prenuptial agreement, it's a good idea for millennials to consider prenuptial agreements, whether or not they have an estate of any kind. And to address your point specifically, Leo, student loans, they're massive these days. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. That can be non-marital debt if you incurred the debt prior to marriage. If you incurred the debt after marriage, it's considered a marital debt. Moreover, if you refi using SoFi or those similar lending institutions, you can transmute what was formerly a non-marital debt into a marital debt. And I think prenups, to your point, can sort of address that.
Sure. And I think, again, that's part of the reason millennials are holding off on marriage. They're afraid. It's scary. You see, all the media likes to say is how high the divorce rate is. Prenups, you hear the word prenup on TV or or movies, it's like automatically prenup. Oh, they don't love you. You want a prenup. Well, really, from at least from one side of the perspective, and I know there's definitely a counter argument to be made, a prenup in today's day and age, where again, a lot of people our age are coming out of school or their respective trade with a lot of debt and looking down the barrel of a lot of debt. Like Dom said, the prices of houses, pardon me, are a lot higher than they used to be. So by going into a prenup, especially if you're the debt holder and saying, listen, I know you're protected to a certain extent by this having been incurred before I was married, but if we refi, if we need to do something because mortgages are harder to qualify for nowadays, consolidate, refi, whatever that might be, you might be on the hook for this if things go south for whatever reason, and I want to protect you from that. I think there's a lot to be said about coming from the right corner of a prenup and saying, listen, I love you, I care for you, and I want to make sure you're protected. I want to make sure we're both protected down the line. And I don't know. I think that has a lot to say about caring for someone. It's coming from that corner,
So you're really talking about it as the person asking for the prenup does not have a lot of wealth.
Sure.
They have more debt.
Yeah. But I think that's commonplace in our generation is unless you're coming from generational wealth or you're a very smart individual, you get into something, scholarships, whatever. I think there's a large percentage of people my age and Dominic's age that are coming out at this stage of life with a ton of debt.
So if I'm entering into a marriage and I'm not the one that has the debt and my husband-to-be is not as thoughtful or maybe not as aware of what could happen down the line, would you suggest that other person to actually initiate the prenup?
It's definitely going to be fact-specific. As I stated before, you're going to have to take into consideration when that debt was incurred. If it was incurred before the marriage, it's going to retain its non-marital characteristic, and only the party who incurred the debt will have to repay that unless they refinance it during the marriage. But if you are considering marrying somebody that has a substantial amount of debt, it may be advisable to go ahead and enter into a prenuptial agreement. You can reserve the right to maintenance, you can reserve everything, and really just focus on what's going to happen to that debt if we refinance it down the road. To Leo's point, need to refinance your student loans to qualify for a mortgage or to re-qualify or to refinance your home at a lower rate. You can address that in your prenuptial agreement and say no matter what happens, if we change this characteristic from what would typically be considered non-marital to marital, it's going to retain its non-marital quality, and you are going to have to repay that loan as an individual.
And to build off of that a little bit on specifically the point of coming from the perspective of someone who doesn't have the debt, I think the way to approach it, Dominic just kind of addressed it and I want to build off of it, is you want to say, listen, I'm not trying to stop you from having anything I don't have. Again, that's I think we need to dispel that connotation about prenups and negativity, because even the statute itself is drafted in the negatives.
That's a good point, because I think most people in the outside world think prenups, ooh, you're going to ask for a prenup, you know, are they really going to move forward with that marriage? I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. It's a good segue. And for example, again, I have a lot of student loans. I'm not afraid to say that for the sake of this example.
Most lawyers do.
Yeah, my fiance currently does not. And so her as the non-debt bearing party could come to me and say, listen, I know your loans are premarital, but I think we need to protect ourselves.
You know, he's giving you ideas. If you
yeah. I think we need to protect ourselves. And that's not to say that I don't want it drafted to say, you know, we can reserve the issue of maintenance and say we would use our incomes at the time of whatever, again, fact specific. You know, we would both be entitled to anything incurred during the marriage. There's a way to draft it to where it's positive. There's a lot of positives in there. And the only negative per se is protecting each other from a large loan that you incurred before the marriage. Because again, the big thing where I see that transmutation or the non-marital property turning into a marital property is having to refi or having to consolidate, or somehow changing the nature of the loan to where it's arguable, God forbid things happen that make things negative down the road, where you could argue, hey, you know what, now this is marital. And that's the last thing I think people our age should have to deal with, which again ties into the fear of marriage. Again, the media has done wonders on portraying the negative side of marriage nowadays, and our generation's afraid. But they really shouldn't be, because you can put these vehicles in place to protect yourselves from the huge expense of getting divorced, the huge expense of litigating every single issue, which is what even people not our age, I think, are afraid of. You put those vehicles in motion years ahead of time, you're saving yourself the cost of litigation for years down the road.
Yeah, and interestingly, just you're talking about the media's portrayal of marriage and prenuptial agreements in general. Before I drafted my first prenuptial agreement, I shared with my wife what I was doing. Nothing specific about the clients, but just in general, I was drafting this prenuptial agreement. She insisted I sit down, and she played for me a Sex in the City episode where Miranda, one of the characters, looks at her soon-to-be husband and says, "I'll sign this. I'm worth $1 million." And so I think that's what most people think about when they hear the prenuptial agreement. It's somebody with wealth forcing it down their throat. They have to sign it. It's up to them to say, no, if we get divorced, I want X amount of dollars. And that's not the case. As we said, millennials these days typically don't have the same amount of wealth that other generations have had going into marriage. With having said that, there's a lot of positives that you can bring to the table going into a marriage by drafting a prenuptial agreement. And it's more than just drafting debt. To your point, Leo, you can get ahead of a lot of issues attendant with the dissolution of marriage, such as maintenance, the allocation of the marital estate, prior to getting married, in such a way that when you do dissolve your marriage, should you ever, you're not going to incur the same amount of cost. Dissolutions of marriage are inherently expensive, and prenuptial agreements can get out in front of that by having you reach an agreement as to the allocation of debt, student loans included, as well as many other issues while you're still getting along. So that when you are in a dissolution of marriage, should you ever be in that position, you're not going to be butting heads. The document, which is a contract that you've agreed to while you were still relatively pleased with one another, is going to control. And so you're not going to dissipate the marital estate through expensive attorney's fees. You're going to move on with your lives in a way that was already addressed prior to getting married.
Have there been situations where prenups have been unenforceable?
So I actually, Dom said something, and now I want to flip the coin a little bit. Okay. I said there was another side to the coin, and there is. We've said a lot of positives about prenups for millennials and how that can help potentially strengthen the bond and protect your marriage moving forward. One of the key factors in the enforceability of a prenup is a fair and reasonable disclosure of the other party's assets. Now we're talking about the person who, let's say, like Dom said, you've got someone with a lot of money who's typically, hey, you need to sign this to protect my assets, myself, my wealth. There's a recent case in Lake County, Illinois. I won't get into too much of the specifics, but you had a couple that was together for years. Years, they never got married. They were together, broke up on and off. And there was a prenup that floated around that husband who had wealth said, hey, listen, I will marry you, but you need to sign this. And for years they were together, never signed. Finally, one day he comes to wife who had been waiting years to get married and says, you know what, let's just go to Vegas, let's get married. They go to Vegas, she's in her dress, she's on the altar, puts the prenup on her lap.
Sure.
On the altar. I kid you not, on the altar. These are the facts of the case. And she signs it. She was in tears, but she wanted to get married. She had waited her whole life to get married. And the only disclosures that she made, that he made, were the addresses of businesses that he had. She had no way of knowing if he was in the positive or negative other than what she actually knew about him based on that document. And so in Illinois, it doesn't have to be a full disclosure of assets, just fair and reasonable. And in Illinois, they hold a very strict level of scrutiny, meaning the way they read it and the disclosures made and each party's understanding when they go to enforceability. So not too long after, he wants to get divorced. They go to court, this goes to trial, and one argument, duress, is immediately dispelled because, you know, there's a lot of case law and statutory law that says, and this is a hypothetical I've heard throughout law school and the bar, is up until, unless he's holding some sort of weapon or holding you hostage at the altar, if he hands it to you at the altar, you have a chance to walk away. And unfortunately, that's how the law, at least in Illinois, and in this case, went. And then as far as the fair disclosure, the judge said, listen, you know, I see that he disclosed. I think this is fair and reasonable. And, you know, unfortunately for her, the case was lost. I don't know if there's an appeal or not, but the point being is that fair disclosure is so important. It's very positive to have the prenups, but you also want to make sure you're not signing it on the altar. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure you got everyone sitting down and saying, okay, what do we have? Let's make sure this is thoroughly put together to really save ourselves down the line.
Yeah, you just wonder what happened. Like, why couldn't you have asked maybe even the night before, right? I mean, right. All the guests are there, everyone's watching, or, you know, I just, oh, that breaks my heart.
Well, Illinois adopted the Uniform Premarital Agreement Act, which has been adopted by a number of states. And it's really difficult to invalidate a prenuptial agreement as long as certain criteria are met. Not only does the agreement itself have to be unconscionable at the time it was entered into, not unconscionable at the time of enforcement, but there would have to be a combination of unconscionability and a failure to disclose or a failure to obtain the other party's signature acknowledging their waiver of disclosure. That's a little bit more nuanced than what happened in this case. But prenuptial agreements will typically be enforced, and it's quite difficult to have the entire document itself ruled unenforceable by a court.
So what advice do you have for millennials watching this as to they come to see Dominic or Leo and say, I saw your podcast and, you know, I'm thinking of getting married and would like a prenup. What provisions should be in a prenup? What should be included? What should not be included? Really, maybe from both sides.
So it's a contract and you're contracting. It's a little bit different than the typical arm's length contract, because there is an intimate relationship between the two parties contracting. It's always going to be important that both parties retain competent counsel, and you have to talk to that counsel and tell them what your goals of the prenup are. Your attorney should listen to you, what goals you want to accomplish, and how that ties into a happy long-term marriage. So in terms of what a document has to say, a prenuptial agreement has to say, it's going to be very dependent upon the parties getting married and what assets they want to protect or what debts they want to protect. Yeah. In terms of an actual agreement being held enforceable, again, there has to be offer, consideration, acceptance. Always get the disclosure. Leo, do you want to jump in on that? You look like you...
No, I mean, I think you're covering all the bases. I think it's important to state it's everything's fact specific. But one thing I guess we could say to millennials, again, we're sitting here trying to dispel negativity about marriage and prenups in our generation, because again, you see a lot of people waiting. Don't be afraid. If both parties want to sit down and talk about a prenup, don't be afraid to contact myself, Dominic, the firm, anyone here to sit down and draft it the way you want it. You want it drafted? I mean, again, there's a lot of positives you can put in a prenup, a lot of things that you can address where to protect each other from debts that one or the other may have, and to also allocate certain assets to one or the other should things go awry. Hopefully they don't, and that's not the goal of a prenup. The prenup is to protect one another. And I think if done the right way, that's what I would tell millennials, is don't be afraid. If it's done the right way, if you've got the right help, and if you speak up as to what you want in there, it could be a positive.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to, one, you know, last few words you'd like to share to millennials, what your thoughts are on prenups? Are you getting a prenup?
That's up to my fiance. She knows I've made these disclosures about my debt. She knows everything about me. And, you know, she knows she doesn't have debt. Obviously, I do have some student loans, and that's completely her decision. Because I'm in a position where I understand how it works, and I've explained to her how it works, and she's going to watch this, and maybe she'll know a little bit more than she did before. If she wanted to go that route, I'd 100% be open to exploring it with her, because, again, I want to protect someone that I care about. And I see it as a way of protecting someone I care about.
And you're married, so.
We did not sign a prenup. But again, I think that we talked a lot about the positive of prenups for protecting debt or protecting maybe the other party. But if you're the party with assets, absolutely get a prenup. There's a lot of benefits that come out of a prenuptial agreement. Uniform Premarital Agreement Act, part of the reason it was adopted by Illinois is to promote marital harmony. It's not to promote dissolution of marriage. So it's a very positive thing. If you have assets, if you have debts, please consult an attorney. Leo and I are readily available to consult with you in any manner possible. We have experience drafting prenuptial agreements, and we're here to answer any questions you might have.
And if they don't get a prenup, there's always postnups.
There's always postnups too.
Yeah. But that's another podcast.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. If you've liked this podcast, please subscribe to the podcast channel and follow us on Facebook and on LinkedIn and Twitter. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Divorce Talk. Visit our website at www.biermanlaw.com, where you can subscribe to the show so you'll never have to miss a single one. Please also follow us on Facebook and LinkedIn and subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating. Be sure to tune in next time for another enlightening episode.